Constitution Week isn't just September 17th through 23rd. It's every Tuesday here on Bulldog Live with Second Amendment Tuesdays and Attorney Penny Dean next on The Pulse.
Now, I know the Constitution, and it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up, at least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
1-866-823-1077 is our phone number here on Second Amendment Tuesdays with Attorney Penny Dean on Bulldog Live. Hi, Penny.
Hey, how are you?
Ooh, boy, I'm having a great old time.
Good deal. I hope you're causing trouble and making everybody know what's right's right, what's wrong's wrong.
That's what I try to do, but they make it difficult because they pass laws that say it's okay to steal up to $500 from your employer, get fired, and you get to collect unemployment. You know, when they change the moral standards like that, what do I do?
You want me to tell you what? I personally understand that better than you can know. I agree with you, and I understand that completely. So I guess, you know, with inflation, then probably in a couple of years we should raise that amount to $750, because $500 won't be the same as it used to be. So they can steal $1,000 at a time, because it's kind of the same, right? There's inflation and cost of living, and you know.
Oh my goodness! Oh, that's good. Oh, I like that.
Right? I mean, the same logic. You know, what can I say? You know, it just doesn't make sense. And, you know, and the bottom line is, you know, I've been telling people for years and years and years to be careful of police misconduct, be careful of police entrapment. Everybody says, oh, Penny, that doesn't happen.
You're just paranoid.
I'm just
walking
paranoid.
Around with your tinfoil hat.
That's exactly right. And my tinfoil hat would be pink if I had one. I'll have, you know. But I've never seen pink tinfoil, so I guess I can't make
it. I was just going to ask.
Yeah, so I guess I can't have. If anyone finds some pink tinfoil, then I'll make one of those pink tinfoil. I've never made one before. They're going to have to make one for me. I don't know how they're made. But
I don't know.
I'd like a pink tinfoil hat.
Right. But
the bottom line is, GOAL, which is the Gun Owners Action League, publishes a monthly publication, kind of like Gun Owners New Hampshire publishes a quarterly publication. And in the Gun Owners Action League is an article, and it's by another attorney. So this isn't one of my cases. This is someone else's case, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was there had been an altercation outside this gentleman's apartment earlier in the day. He had nothing to do with it. And so the police called him, and this guy, I hate to say it, like a lot of clients, a lot of people are pretty blonde and ignorant when it comes to police, and they think the police are their friends and they're here to help you, right? And so the police call, and they say they just want to find out what happened outside his apartment earlier that day, and they want to come over to his house and discuss his guns. Now, this gentleman, who's named Bob for this article, says he ordinarily keeps his guns safely secured in a 6-foot-tall vault with a combination lock in his bedroom. Because this is Massachusetts storage laws, okay?
Oh, okay, yes.
Yep, Bob has no criminal record at all. Seems there was an incident outside his house. But this was not mentioned in the phone call. So he, being a good citizen, takes out all his firearms and puts them on his kitchen counter. And he's sitting in his chair ready for them to inspect his firearms, right? Now, what he should have first said is, well, you want to come over here and do what?
Yeah.
You what? Nah. Let me take your name and number, and I'll get right back to you. The next phone call should have been to his lawyer.
Right.
You know, but this fine fella didn't do that, okay? So he invites the police, nice police officer, into his house and announced he'd taken all his firearms from the safe and had them on the table so he could look at them to see they're all legal, they're all proper, the whole bit. And he also announced his safe was in the bedroom. And so the police officer immediately declared that the weapons were improperly stored and called the police station. Death Sergeant instructed the officer to confiscate all the firearms and issue a complaint for improper storage. This guy's like, wait, 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 you don't understand. They were in there. I just took them out because you said you were coming, and I'm trying to be helpful, right?
Uh-huh.
Now,
No good deed goes unpunished, as
they
say.
That's exactly my point. So this poor fella had to get a summons to appear before a magistrate for a show cause hearing. The attorney filed an appearance, said he was going to challenge the issuance of the complaint. And he also said, of course, we're going to jerk the guy's license to carry. All these other things are going to happen. And this person, his lawyer, said, asked for a bench conference with the judge to explain what happened and explain to the district attorney, look, you're really not going to bring this case. And he asked to prepare what's called a misuse of law motion to dismiss. And he said, this case has all the earmarks of a setup to put my client in a position where the police could lay a foundation for the revocation of his license to carry. Now, they prepared the motion in this case, and everything was dismissed, and everything's fine. But I'm going to bet a nickel. Okay, this guy had to fight the criminal charges, had to file an appeal for judicial review for the revocation of his license, had to have the chief of police serve. The gist of it is this guy went through horrible, horrible anguish, and I bet he spent a whole pile of money.
Yeah, I would guess.
A whole, and nothing against the attorney who handled the case. He's well-deserving. He got good results. It's a lot of work. But my point is to do not ever trust them and let them in your house. Because the other case that I want people to be aware of, and this case is actually quite disgusting, it's out of Texas. Okay, and the federal court, the federal jury, convicted a Texan for selling a gun to an illegal alien with a Texas driver's license. And the facts in this story, and this happened on July 20th, 2010, the ATF won a conviction from an Austin jury. And their whole purpose was this gentleman who had an FFL had a person come up to his table. Now, this is Texas, mind you. The person is Hispanic. There's three of them. They spoke Spanish, wore cowboy clothing. Anybody who's ever been to Texas, what percentage of the population in Texas speaks Spanish?
Oh, my gosh. Let's just say significant.
Huge amount. What percentage of the Texas population is Hispanic or looks Hispanic? Okay. So that is not a red flag. Okay. That, as a matter of fact, to him, that
how many people in Texas wear cowboy clothes, too?
Yeah.
You know?
How many Texans have you seen with cowboy hats and cowboy boots on?
Right.
Yeah. Just a huge, huge, huge number. And so this person presented a Texas driver's license. He filled out a form that said he was a Texas resident. Now, I don't know about you and I, but when I go to the gun store, let's say, you know, I go to Riley's or wherever I go, Chester Arms, you know, someplace to buy a firearm, I hand him my New Hampshire driver's license, right? They ask me if I'm a U.S. citizen, which I am. I'm a natural born New York citizen. How do they check that? What are you going to do, check my birth certificate? Okay. I mean, have you ever had them, like, call back to where you're born and ask for your birth certificate? I mean, nobody does that, okay? And so the bottom line was he was at a proper gun show doing proper forms. But the bottom line was he sold this handgun to this Leonel Horta Sr., who spoke English and Spanish. There are tons of people in this country who are bi or trilingual.
Sure.
It's not a there are tons of lawyers that I know who came from other countries who speak their, if you will, mother tongue first. And they're certainly U.S. citizens, just like you and I are, or are lawfully able to buy firearms through other exemptions. And so the problem was the person who the ATF was using, he's never been arrested, never charged, or never deported.
Really?
Do you not find that problematic?
Well, yes, but then again, I am shocked but not surprised.
The bottom line is the ATF is still continuing to use him to go around to other gun dealers. Just instead of busting the illegal alien for buying a firearm, they bust the citizen for selling and making a mistake.
So now the FBI is using the illegal alien in order to entrap the gun sellers.
Absolutely. And they've had I've had cases recently of gun dealers in this area who've contacted me, one of which is going to take his internal store security cameras and see if he can get a good shot and we can circulate the picture. Is they go into a gun store and they talk about buying a firearm and then they say, well, I'm going to buy this for my brother. Is that okay? Well, the answer is your brother a New Hampshire resident? Well, you get a lot of stores who have a lot of employees. Sometimes employees don't know to ask the correct questions. You know, you can train them as much as you want, but when it's not their butt on the line, how careful are they?
Right, exactly.
You know, that you can train them and you can do whatever, but the issue becomes here is how many people, for example, how many people do you know in New Hampshire who their New Hampshire house is their second home?
Right.
A lot of people, correct?
Yes.
Huge amounts of people from Massachusetts come up to the lakes on the weekend all the time.
I was just going to say, go around any lake in this state and see how many of those homes are second homes. Yeah.
A bazillion, a huge amount. Well, let me tell you what the ATF is also doing to people, and it's really, really a travesty, is you are only allowed to purchase a rifle or a handgun, rather, in your state of residence. So let's say I'm a New Hampshire resident. I can only buy handguns from New Hampshire federally firearms licensed dealers, okay?
Uh-huh.
I can't go to Maine. I can't go to Connecticut. However, long guns, which are rifles and shotguns, okay, those can be purchased from any state gun store in the whole U.S.
All right.
Okay, now, they've had a recent change, and this is where if someone doesn't, you know, pick up the little nuances all the time. You know the AR-15 frames? You know there's uppers and lowers. There's receivers, right?
Mm-hmm.
An AR-15 frame is considered an other. You know what that means?
No.
You can only buy it in your state of residence.
Oh, okay.
So how many guys do you know that think, oh, it's an AR rifle, right? And they take it apart and they say, well, I'll just sell the frame of it. It's now an other. You can't sell it to a person from another state.
Huh.
You can't sell it to, you know, in other words, a dealer. There's all sorts of restrictions about how things have to go dealer to dealer.
You can sell the whole gun, but you just can't sell it one part at a time.
In certain instances, yeah. Now, private citizens still have to only be citizens of the same state for selling things, but absolutely right. But dealers are making huge mistakes because how the heck are they going to know this? The other thing is, you know, Mossberg 590 is a great old pump shotgun, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know how sometimes they have what's called a pistol grip on the rear instead of a shoulder stock?
Yeah.
Well, now that's considered an other. So if you're Mossberg, yeah, and you go, wait a minute. So I can go to Kittery and sell them the other if it has the long stock on, but if it has the short stock, I can. I go, yeah, that's pretty much right.
Nice.
Except for in Kittery's case, they have both a New Hampshire federal firearms license and a Maine federal firearms license. But those are what I call some tricks that even dealers aren't picking up on, because how the heck would the average person know that?
Yeah, really.
You know, and so the issue that I'm seeing more and more is the other thing is trying to get after the dealers in the middle of a transaction or the person's in the middle of a transaction. Someone comes to you, gives you a New Hampshire driver's license. Do you know that they're not one of the people that has homes in three states and they legally claim, let's say, Maine as their state of residence?
Yeah, right, exactly.
How would you know that? They gave you a New Hampshire driver's license, right?
Uh-huh, so the presumption is they are a New Hampshire resident.
Yeah, and they have a house three doors down from you on the lake, right?
Yes.
So you think, okay, they got a house on the lake, they got a New Hampshire driver's license, they drive a car plated with New Hampshire resident.
Yep, not a problem.
You got to ask and get affirmative representations anymore because they're prosecuting people, and I consider it absolute entrapment in a bunch of those cases because the bottom line is these aren't even cases where criminals are selling to criminals. These are law-abiding people, selling to law-abiding people, making a mistake that no one would ever think about.
This is amazing. Well, we'll talk more about this entrapment because there anybody who thinks that there isn't this entrapment going on, we'll talk about what one state had to resort to in order to protect its citizens from such entrapments. Bulldog Live continues here, Second Amendment Tuesdays, with Attorney Penny Dean on the pulse, 1-866-823-1077. Give us a call.
Bulldog Live will continue after these messages, live on the pulse.